Gerrymandering and redistricting have been a part of electoral politics in the U.S. for generations, and their power to influence who controls the House and Senate are even more in the spotlight now. The Supreme Court is considering cases that would affect how two states, Wisconsin and Maryland, draw their district lines. And Pennsylvania is moving forward with a redraw thanks to a decision by its state Supreme Court. The GOP's ability to dominate the House in recent cycles has a lot to do with the redistricting strategy that was hatched nearly a decade ago. David Daley has written about that in a new piece for Salon called How the Republicans Rigged Congress, and he's here with me to discuss it. David, let's begin with one very important name from this process that a lot of people don't know, Thomas Hoffler. How did he make a lot of this possible for GOP candidates?
Thomas Hoffler and Chris Jankowski are two of the most important Republican political thinkers of this era whose name no one knows. And together, they strategized and came up with the idea that explains so much of our current political reality. In 2008, in 2009, Jankowski and Hoffler are trying to plot the Republicans' road back to power. And what they realize is that 2010 could be a hugely consequential year because it's a redistricting year. Every 10 years after the census, we redraw every state legislative and congressional map in the country. What they realize is that because it's state legislatures that play the dominant role in drawing not only their own lines, but also the congressional lines, that if Republicans are able to take over key state legislatures in blue states, in purple states, in 2010, that they would have the power to draw the maps that define the field of play throughout the entire decade.
Maybe the technology and the access to data has been so much more prevalent now. Is this something that either party could have tried in a previous cycle and just weren't aware or didn't understand quite the power of what we're talking about?
There's been gerrymandering for as long as there's been politicians in this country. As long as there have been politicians, they want to have the power to draw their own lines, to make their race a little bit easier for themselves or their party, or to make it harder for the other side. That's nothing new. But I think what you're saying is exactly right. In 2010, there's this confluence of political intent, but also technology and advances in computer software and computer speed and in the availability of these massive data sets that make it possible to draw lines that endure for a decade. There's a big case going on right now in Pennsylvania where the state Supreme Court has invalidated all of the congressional maps in Pennsylvania as being an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander, and they're forcing them all to be redrawn. Well, in 2000, Republicans also had the power to draw those maps. And by 2006 and 2008, when the political situation had changed in the country, when political favor turned against the Iraq War or after the economic crash in 2008, Democrats were able to take 12 of the 19 seats in Pennsylvania in those years, despite the gerrymander. They were able to overcome the power of the lines. The gerrymander that the Republicans draw in Pennsylvania in 2011 is so strong that this entire decade, in 2012, 14, and 16, Republicans have held 13 of the 18 seats in Pennsylvania, even in years when Democrats have gotten more votes. So Democrats might get 51-52% of the vote. They only get 28% of the seats. So the technology between 2000 and 2010 is of such a difference. I mean, think of the way we texted in 2000 versus how we text in 2010. It has completely changed, and it makes it possible to draw really stout and durable district lines.
And David, considering we've all seen the generic polling that says, okay, because not only do midterms usually turn out poorly for the party of the president, it's also because, you know, many people are up in arms because of President Trump and that administration. But based on what you've said and based on how these districts have been drawn, can Democrats actually afford to be optimistic about this? Or is it really that hard to flip so many of these seats because of what you've talked about, because of how these districts have been drawn based on this Republican strategy?
It's going to be really interesting to see whether a blue wave is capable of overcoming this red firewall. We have a pretty good indication of what happened from Virginia last fall, where Democratic candidates got 225,000 more votes than Republican candidates for the House of Delegates there in Virginia. And yet Republicans, thanks to the lines that they drew and the gerrymander there, were still able to keep control of the House of Delegates 51-49 in Alabama, where Doug Jones wins statewide for the special election for the U.S. Senate. Roy Moore actually won 6 of the 7 congressional districts, if you break it down that way, in Alabama. So Republicans have a huge structural advantage going into 2018. In 2012, Democratic candidates for the U.S. House won 1.4 million more votes nationally, and Republicans were able to maintain a 234-201 advantage in the chamber.
What kind of battle should we expect in 2020 with certain states and what they're planning to do? I mean, we're going to see just a bloodbath on both sides where both parties are saying they're not going to give an inch on this because they realize what can be done.
I think that's right. The Democrats fell asleep on this in 2010. They simply didn't see this Republican strategy coming, and they have been paying the price for their political ineptitude for the course of this entire decade. They are better organized this time around. Eric Holder and Barack Obama have been running something called the National Democratic Redistricting Commission, and they are focused in trying to run a similar play as the Republicans. What I fear is that suddenly there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars going into all of these state legislative races. It's going to turn our politics nastier and more brutish all the way down to the local level. We have to find reforms that have the power to actually take this out of the hands of politicians and put it into the hands of the people again.
David Daley is the author of Rat Eft, Why Your Vote Doesn't Count, also the recent Salon piece, How the Republicans Rigged Congress. Dave, thanks very much for the time.
A pleasure. Thank you.